The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, encouragement to weather life storms.
Because God's wooing you, or you wouldn't be on the other side of that screen watching this. That's the Holy Spirit pulling you, not just your remote control. Would somebody say amen to that? That's the Holy Spirit calling you. And God has planned something for you, and there's no storm He ever lets you find yourself in the middle of that He does not have a victory for you.
Wrecked but not ruined, next on Life Today.
I wish you were sitting here with all these wonderful people, and we are so glad you give Betty and me, James Robinson, the opportunity of coming into your home. Life Today. We talk about life every day, and we want you to experience life. Think about this. Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. He came to give us that abundant life, and right now, He is seated at the right hand of the Father, daily making intercession for you. God cares about you, wherever you are. Now, I'll make you a promise. Just give us a chance today to share His heart, His love, His concern for you. This is Wednesdays with Beth. Beth Moore is going to share, wrecked but not ruined. Paul the Apostle had a shipwreck, but he wasn't ruined. That shipwreck actually got him somewhere he needed to be. And perhaps it was the only way he would get there. Listen to Beth. You will be blessed. Here is Beth Moore.
Now, what was number one? Sometimes we're what? Where several storms collide. Sometimes we're standing in the exact spot where several storms collide. Would anybody say that's true? Yes. Number two is this. The question of fault feeds the fury of every storm. The question of fault feeds the fury of every storm. Jot that down. Now say it back to me. The question of fault feeds the fury of every storm. I want to ask you if that's true today, because I want you to think this through, whatever your storm may be, and I want you to think, God's bringing this message to you at this time because of the exact circumstances you are presently in. So relate it right now to your circumstances. So what are the storms that are colliding right over your sweet little head at this moment? And I want to ask you a question. How many of them are you in all by yourself? And what I'd like to present to you is not very many. Really, storms require some people involved. Because let me tell you, our circumstantial problems are not near as big as our relational problems. They're in a whole different league, a whole different need of the Spirit when we're dealing with people than just circumstances. And so often what will happen in the midst of storms is that we'll find that we are somehow related and interconnected with a group of people going through this thing, only we're all going through it our own way. So we got this corporate storm. This is what happened on this ship in Acts 27. This corporate storm, 276 people on board, but all of them were going through it in their own individual way. When there's more than one person involved in any storm, whoa, you just got somebody to blame. And that's what happens because we want it to be somebody's fault. Somebody needs to pay when we're in a storm. Somebody needs to pay. And like, who put us here? Who got us in the situation? There's got to be somebody to blame. Somehow, that's just a natural part of us. We're going to look for a person that we can point to. I want you to look back in this account because you have to look up before our reading to catch what's happening here. Acts 27, now go with me to 9 to 12, verses 9 to 12 of that same segment. It says, this is beforehand, before we get into that northeaster. Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the fast. And so that was going to be after the Day of Atonement, which would have been at the end of September. So we already know it's in October. So Paul warned them, men, this is Paul talking, men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also. But the centurion, instead of listening to Paul and what he said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Now, I love this because we want to go, they should have listened to Paul. Listen, wouldn't you want to listen to the actual captain of the ship? I mean, does Paul have to know everything? I'm just asking you. Just everything? I mean, like, what would make him think we should listen to Paul? They didn't realize God was talking to Paul. But no, the pilot, owner of the ship, said we should go. We did it. Verse 12, since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. And this was a harbor in Crete facing both southwest and northwest. Look back as it says, the majority decided we should sail on. Let me tell you something. The majority is not always right. The majority is not always right. Now, here's what could happen, because there's a whole lot of blame going on here. I mean, why didn't they follow his advice, and why did they do what he said? And there's just nothing like Paul to bring in a good, I knew it was going to be disastrous, and I want to prove to you he's going to say, I told you so. Would you pick up with me in verse 21? I love the Apostle Paul in the pages. I love him. But these are things I love about him right here. Verse 21, after the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. Now, there are so many things I love about this. For one thing, I love that he didn't know what island. God had already told him everything else, but it was like, but I have no idea where we're going to land. No idea. I mean, like, sometimes when you have a word for somebody, they want to know everything else with it, and you're going, I only know the one word. I only know the one word. Now, I want to point something out to you, that no matter whose fault it is and what a waste of time and energy and emotional velocity when we're just trying to blame and place fault. But no matter whose fault it is, God in his sovereignty sends us through storms to a place we would never land otherwise. That we have got to know. That we've got to take home to mama. That one, we have got to settle in our hearts that no matter what, our God is sovereign. And if he went to all the trouble to make sure that this wind would come from this direction and this wind would come from this direction so that we would move this way, because of those two winds coming together, and he knows we're going to run aground on exactly the place he wants us to land, that has got to be where our faith finds its courage. Sometimes we're standing in the exact spot where several storms collide. Secondly, the question of fault feeds the fury of every single storm. I cannot tell you the blessing it is to us when we just come to terms with some of the sovereignty of God, to know that he works in us. I want you to write down, in case somebody isn't going to know this verse today, this is going to be new to you, and I wish I could see your face right now, because it's this kind of thing that just turns the light on for somebody. Philippians 2:13, I want to read this verse to you in hopes that this is going to be new to somebody. It says this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's God. I want to say that again to you, and no matter what you're going through, as those storms are coming together right over your head, God is doing something. God is up to something. And even though people may have blown it to your right and blown it to your left, you've got to know in his sovereignty, he is letting you be standing right there in the apex, right there, right there where they collided, because he has a place to blow you. You are not going otherwise. I got to know that. I got to trust that. That has got to be where my hope comes from. Number three is this. The Titanic temptation, and there's just a little pun there. My girls call me the queen of puns. I love puns. The Titanic temptation in any storm is to give way to it. The Titanic temptation in any storm is to just give way to it. I want you to look back, jot that down. In fact, I want you to read it back to me. The Titanic temptation in any storm is to give way to it. I want you to look back at verses 14 and 15 again. I want you to hear these words. It says in 14, before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island, and the ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so we just gave way to it and were driven along. Just give way to it. In panic, in defeat, or just in a bad mood. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just like in a bad mood. We just decide, what can I do? I'm just going to roll with the storm, and I'm just going to let it toss me wherever I'm going to go. Instead of, Lord, you lead me. You get me where you want me. We just decide, I'm just going to just like throw myself into the storm and go, have your way. Have your way with me. And we let it just, whatever comes naturally to us, for nature to just take its way over us, and we lapse totally back into our flesh patterns. What is your pattern when you just give way? When you just cease to fight in the spirit and just give way to it, what is our pattern? And what happens so often when we're in a situation where storms are colliding on top of our sweet heads is that we feel so completely out of control that we talk ourselves into believing we have no choices here. Nothing could be further from the truth. And I want to say this to you on the other side of the screen. I just wish so much we were sitting across the coffee table from one another. We really do get to control a few things and how we're going to react to it. It's first on the list. What we're going to do with the situation that we're in, whether or not we're going to lapse back or whether we're going to choose to receive the grace that God would give us to get through this thing victoriously. Listen, if you are in Christ, if you belong to God, and I'm going to tell you this, even if you've never trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you can do that today. Because God's wooing you, or you wouldn't be on the other side of that screen watching this. That's the Holy Spirit pulling you, not just your remote control. Would somebody say amen to that? That's the Holy Spirit calling you. And God has planned something for you. And there's no storm He ever lets you find yourself in the middle of that He does not have a victory for you. There's a way to be victorious here. There's a way to be victorious. There's a way to see Him come walking out on that water. And to step out of that boat and walk to Him. There is a way. There is a way. There is a way. We're not just going to give way to the wind and be tossed wherever it sends us. We're going to go where God leads that ship and see His grace. I want you to look back at verses 22 and 25. Verses 22 and 25 where Paul says this. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Well, it's a wildest thing that whatever's carrying us there might be destroyed. Like you're going to go, you know what? The very situation, the work that I was in that led me to this city, I don't even work at that place anymore. He used that ship to get me here. That ship was destroyed, and here I am in exactly the place. Is that speaking to anybody? Exactly the place He wanted to lead me. The ship may get destroyed, but you're going to land exactly where He purposes. Amen. If you trust Him, keep up your courage. Keep up your courage. It says in verse 25, so keep up your courage, men, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as He told me. I wonder if somebody watching or listening today remembers this faint promise that you felt God spoke over you years ago that you have given up on. And I feel like one of the things that God wanted me to say as we wrap up this part of our two-part series, as we wrap up the first part, was that we've let something go that was a promise that God still wants to keep. And I pray that somebody's got the courage to see the storm through to the other side and to not just give way to fear and not just give way to panic, but to know your God is faithful. Your God is faithful. What has He spoken over you? Let me tell you something. If I'm not in the Word, I cannot hear Him speaking. Constantly, people will just look up into the skies almost with a lostness on their face and go, speak to me, speak to me, speak to me. And yes, He could probably do that. He could probably speak audibly from the heavenlies. He certainly could if He wanted to. But I've never one time heard Him speak that way. This is how I hear Him speak. He speaks to me through His Word, and then He'll use all sorts of things to confirm that Word to me, circumstances and people that will come along and counsel me where that Word is concerned. But this is how He speaks. Amen. The soundness and the beauty of His Word. And I want to say this to you as we end this first part. I want you to love this book so much. This can be life and breath to you. The reason why I'm passionate about God's Word is because He used it to save not only my life, He used it to save my mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Saved my mind. And I praise Him in such bondage to my sin and self-destruction. And it was the pages of His Word. He sent forth His Word and He healed me. This is where your promise is. This is where He will speak to you. This is where He will build up your faith. This is where you will find your courage. I think very often, there are so many verses that speak in the male sense to the sons of God, but every now and then there's just one spoken straight to a woman. And I love that. We've got so many brothers with us in here today, and I'm so blessed and so blessed to serve you on the other side of that screen, but I want to speak this also over the women. Luke 1:45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Blessed are you, man or woman, when you believe that what God has spoken over you will be accomplished. There's somebody listening today that thinks that the storm is the very evidence that it's not going to come to pass. Maybe that very storm is going to blow you right to the place you're longing to be. It's never fun when we're in it. But when we land someplace we know we could never have found on our own, it is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
I think that Beth hit the nail right on the head. You think that what's happening, I mean, the difficulty, the valley, the challenge, the mountain, whatever it is going to prevent or hinder what God purposes from occurring. Not so. We can experience all kind of challenges. I honestly believe those challenges become oftentimes stepping stones to the higher purposes of God. Father, I pray that for every person that they will see what You will to do with whatever a person is facing, however it got there. You are the way through the storm. You are the shelter in the storm. You are the shepherd. I pray everyone will grasp the reality of that truth. In Jesus' name, truth sets us free. And you've just heard truth. You know, Betty, one of the great joys that we've experienced is sharing life and love with other people. And one of the things that we've seen over and over, when you see a hurt, you see a disease, you see a sick child, nothing moves you any more than a child fighting. Maybe they've lost their hair because of chemo. And we're trying to find the cure. You say, I would do anything. What if you knew beyond any doubt you had the perfect cure for what you see, however painful? Well, we do, but now get this. You have the cure. It's in your hand. The answer is in your hand and in your heart. I want you to watch. I want you to see the need. But you really have the answer. You are the answer. Watch closely. You know, I know that there's some people, they see those images and they run. I do too. I run to get a checkbook. I run to get a bank card. I've run with my wife to the ends of the earth. Not to look at them, to love them, to save their lives. And not just tell them about God's love, but show it to them. And Betty, we couldn't have done it without viewers.
No, that's true.
Who say, you know what? I'm going to help the missionaries. I'm going to feed those kids. I don't turn away when I see the little bloated stomachs, emaciated bodies, the little skeletal frame with skin stretched over it, that hopeless look, because I see hope. I know what love can do. I want everybody watching to help us take care of some
of
those kids.
I do too, James. And, you know, I sit here, never can separate myself from being a mother and a grandmother. And I hear the cries of those little babies. A mother knows the difference. When in the cries, I know when our children were small and I'd hear a cry and maybe, oh, that's a mad cry. They want something, they're not kidding, you know. But then I would hear the cry that you just heard and I knew they were hurting. And immediately as a mother, I wanted to get up and fix whatever the problem was being caused for those tears, for that heartache. And I feel like these mothers, every time they hear their baby whimper, that soft cry, because they're so weak, they can't cry real loud. That mother's heart is breaking because she can't fix their hurt. But you know something? We can. We're able to, and we must fix the hurtful cries of these babies. They're hungry. Their little bodies need nourishment. So I hope you will see what God wants you to do about joining with us, and let's fix the problem. The problem is they're hungry.
And it's so easy to fix. Love corrects it. Food corrects it. And Betty was talking about them crying. And a lot of times they get so weak they can't cry. They just whimper. And the little lullaby, little song that the Somalians sing is go to sleep so you won't hurt anymore. There's a sleep they never wake up from. Listen to me. You may say, oh, it's just another little kid over in Africa, a little baby. No. No, it's a precious child. It's precious children. We've been so blessed. Would you please help us feed those kids for the next several months? $30, $50, $100, we can feed 3, 5, 10 children for the next 3 months. Would you make that gift? Could you help us take care of 10? Could you help us take care of 100 by making a $1,000 gift? I don't know what you can do. Jesus said, what's in your hand? Would you give those children food? Save their lives. We've got some wonderful gifts to send you. Beth Moore's book, teaching, the 90-day Bible, the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze, because you're going to reveal the heart of the Father. Give the greatest gift. The gift of life, and they'll know it's given because of the love of God and the gift He made in His Son. The missionaries communicate that. Please go to the phone, go to lifetoday.org online. Use your bank card like it's a check. Make the best gift you can. Please do it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of hundreds of thousands of suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than 2 decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Beth Moore's book, The Life That Overcomes. This Life Outreach exclusive, featuring a collection of messages from Beth's heart, will inspire you to live an overcoming life each day. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may also request our new 90-day Bible, designed to help you read through the Scriptures in just 90 days. Finally, as a special challenge, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the beautiful Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today at lifetoday.org.
I think it's important to remind you that the life that overcomes, Beth's teachings, and Wrecked But Not Ruined, it's in the book, along with the other teachings, many of them you've heard here, but in print, to bless you. We're sending this for any gift to help the children, to get the food. The Bible in 90 days, absolutely awesome. Many of you said, I wish I could do this. This is the simple way to approach it. And those of you who will help us care for 10 children for the next month will send Beth's book, the 90-Day Bible. And then remember, the beautiful bronze. If there's any way you could help us care in these next months for 100 children, I think you're going to rejoice to do it. And it's going to make all the difference for those children. You will be showing them the heart of the Father, literally. Betty and I say thanks to all of you. Tell your friends about Wednesdays with Beth. Tell them to watch Everyday Life Today. Thank all of you for being with us.
Some people are thanks whiners. You know, God's wanting me to do this, but I'm going to whine for Jesus, you know.
Happy to do it tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.